Here we are, Dan and Dalton's College Football Show. If you're listening to us live on FM Talk 106.5 on Friday night, or if you picked up the podcast, which we publish on Friday mornings, welcome and thank you for giving us this fantastic year where, you know, Dan and I, we do the morning show 6 to 9 every morning, and I do encourage you to listen if you haven't before. But yeah, we really enjoy talking college football and having the opportunity to do this every week throughout the season, well, and here we are.
And this particular podcast, I will be doing it. If you've been listening to the show, you know the sort of ailment that I've been dealing with the last end of this week, and it's been a runny nose. Yeah. And it's rare, and it's very annoying, and it's maybe morphed into something else, and maybe I've just taken, maybe I haven't, but maybe I've just taken a Benadryl. And you'll notice that in my speech during the show.
You think you might be asleep by the fourth segment when we give our picks? I hope not. But, yeah.
Well, I don't look. The picks have not been bad lately, so I feel pretty good about our picks. Looking at last week, by the way, I went 6-4. You had another downer, right?
Yeah, I went 3-7. But we don't need to talk about my week. Yeah, you've been on fire with these picks here. And we're at the end. So if you're in the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Pool, it's been a fun year. I need to go back and look at past seasons just to compare our winners. I know that we haven't had this tight of a race between our pickers, among our pickers, I should say.
Do you have the records to look at past seasons even?
Let me give that a shot.
That's amazing.
I haven't dived in to see if I could find, you know, how we did over these last few years. I'm sure I could go back to our podcast and talks on the air. That would take a little more effort.
Yeah.
But right now we have, so we do have one person who has taken the lead.
Okay.
But it's only by one game.
All right.
And that's AL Cowboy 50, who's shown up here recently, these last couple weeks, at the top of the leaderboard.
He's been hot lately.
Been very hot. And couple of picks, pickers that are right behind him that have been at the top of the leaderboard the whole year. That's DGAPANBDBTT. You know, don't give up about nothing but the tide. That's what that stands for. Is one game behind AL Cowboy 50 with an 88-52 record. And then there are two that are two games behind the leader. That's Jonathan and then Pat's Picks. And then you have another two who are just three games behind the picker. So with nine games coming up this week, I went with the five group of five conference championship games, and then the four Power Four conferences. That gives us nine. There will be one more game the following week, and that's Army-Navy, just to kind of wrap things up. So really just 10 games left for someone to take the lead and keep it. And that big prize package from Spring Hill Ace Hardware, of course, up for grabs here, a $1,500 value. You get the Rec-Tec Patio Legend 400 Wood Pellet Grill and Smoker, Wi-Fi enabled, so it comes with all those tech extras that you get in these new age grills and smokers. Also a grill cover that comes with it and some hardwood pellets to get you started. A TurtleBox Ranger Bluetooth speaker and the Yeti Hopper 32 can soft side cooler. I love so much, Dan, giving that prize every year, and the prize changes and it gets better every year.
Yeah.
But giving that prize to our winner makes the whole year, I don't want to say worth it because the whole thing in itself is worth it, but just that little extra seeing them pick up the prize, it's so cool. And we've had winners who pour over every pick every week and really know what they're doing. And then we've had some that are just as surprised as me that they ended up being the winner at the
very,
end of the year.
Very casual.
Yeah.
Very casual about it. And they'll even admit that they're kind of casual fans. And you're like, well, Mr. Casual Fan, you won it all. You went over, like, in this, how many hundreds do we have this year?
Over 500, somewhere around 550.
Amazing.
And congratulations to all of you who are in the mix here at the end. I know Sean kind of fell off. I think he's still leading the clubhouse here as far as hosts and guests at FM Talk 106.5.
Okay.
Coker Deep Ball's had a great year. But let's get into a couple of these games, and we won't look at all of them that we picked from. But we had some Friday games, Texas beating Texas A&M.
I went with that one. Well, I went with, the line was 2.5, and I did go with Texas to sneak inside that line. So essentially, the line being so small, I picked Texas to win that game.
It was cool. I love when Austin's popping, and to have Arch Manning, he's so unlike his uncles, the way he celebrates, and on the field, the way he runs. I mean, you saw him take, I don't even know if that was, I think that was just a quarterback draw that he scored on from about 20 or 30 yards out.
Yeah, that was, I think that was a draw play.
And he's got that ability, which is different than his uncles. He hasn't shown the passing ability that they have, that's something I guess can grow as he decides. I think there's a little bit of question about whether he'll enter this draft.
Really?
After saying early on that he wouldn't. I know there's more of a question of whether Dante Moore at Oregon will jump in the draft this year. But if Arch jumps in, just off name recognition alone and not wanting to be the team that passed on another Manning, he would really change the way this draft looks at the top.
I don't think this is the year for him to come out. I'll give you a couple of reasons. First of all, he's being compensated very well at the University of Texas. So why not take another year in the offense with Sark, the familiarity, and develop and feel more confident going into the draft? I also think that Sark and those at Texas are going to take care of Arch. And what I mean by that is I think that they will make sure through the transfer portal or by whatever means, they're going to get better players around him, offensive line, maybe wide receivers. You know what I mean? I just think that it's going to be all hands on deck next year for whoever's the quarterback there, especially if it's Arch Manning.
And another year with a great recruiting class coming in. He just misses throws. It's tough. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much. I'm no quarterback guru, so I don't know how much of it's mechanical, how much of it's easy to fix. But even that touchdown at the back of the end zone where he was scrambling, and I know he was moving up and left, but it was a duck. He was lucky that he was able to get that down in bounds, and they caught that touchdown.
Yeah, so. I agree. You're right. You know, every now and then he's got one long pass that'll get your attention, a long run or a scramble. So he's a good athlete for sure, and his long ball's gotten better as the year's gone along. Remember him back in August or September against Ohio State? He was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and we had another example of that inexplicably this past weekend with Gunnar Stockton. It just was crazy. He'd been just improving, and his numbers were getting better and better. I mean, he had a great game in the SEC opener against Tennessee, but from that point on, he was really becoming a real quarterback. And suddenly, last week,
that vaunted Yellow Jackets defense.
Yeah, it was not vaunted at all. he looked very confused and not sure of himself. He's going to have to play a much better game against Alabama.
Yeah, the SEC championship, and you've certainly witnessed your team in a number of them. Is it less important to you now?
Kind of is, but I know that's not the company line. Georgia's in one way or the other.
Yeah.
Where Alabama, there may be some conversation.
Oh, you're talking about the playoff. They're both playing this weekend.
Yeah. As far as Georgia's in the playoff, Alabama, I guess, is still in the playoff with the extra loss because the extra loss was coming in an extra game against a quality opponent.
Yeah, we'll talk some about that game going forward. And also, Drew Fabianich joins us and Paul Feinbaum, of course. We'll do a lot of talk about the Lane Kiffin saga then, not necessarily right now. Ole Miss and Mississippi State in that game. Ole Miss took care of business. Mississippi State just didn't have the horses.
No.
I was watching Vanderbilt, Tennessee, 21-all at the half, and then things fell apart for the Vols. They fell apart at the same time. Clark Lee is a good coach, really good, and I know we're wondering how much of it's on him and how much of it's on Pavia, but I know when you have the two of them together and they're, you know, humming along, it's a really difficult team to beat. I want so badly for them to get into the playoff, but right now it's just not looking like that's the case.
Why are they the ones getting – they only have two losses. I don't quite get why they are the one getting get knocked out. Now, the other one is Miami, and if Duke can win the ACC championship against
Virginia
– an aside, good tickets remain. that game is in Charlotte, and it's two teams that are not going to bring a lot of people to the stadium. So that's going to be like a terrible thing to watch. If Duke's able to win that game, it throws everything spiraling out of control. I think it makes room for Notre Dame and Miami to both get in.
And that whole question about scheduling non-conference games and whether it matters as much, I think Alabama took USF off of their schedule going forward. And there's a lot of people saying, you know, Texas doesn't need to schedule Ohio State because it's not going to help them, although I think it did here in these last playoff rankings. So Vanderbilt, their non-conference schedule, I think, and you listen to Paul Feinbaum later, he seems to think that played a role in this.
Okay.
Charleston Southern to start the year, which they blew out. Virginia Tech, and that was in Blacksburg, 44-20 win. Then their conference game started. They played Georgia State also, Utah State, who can be a good team. I don't think they were this year. That's their non-conference schedule. With only two losses, and those two losses coming to Bama and then a close loss in Austin, better than Texas A&M played. Vanderbilt's on the outside looking in, and that team would draw eyes too, even if that's the metric by which the college football playoff ranking was trying to use. You have an underdog story, the most dramatic quarterback in the country right now. Right. I just don't know why they won't put him in.
And I'll give you one more reason to watch that game. Whoever Vanderbilt would play, they could win.
Mm-hmm.
They could win.
They could, especially the way they're playing now. But Vols certainly underperformed, I think, in addition to how well Pavia played in that game. And then Oklahoma beat LSU. That was kind of an ugly, tight game.
Yeah.
When it was all said and done.
It was. Very, very tight.
4-point win for the Sooners, who also looked to be in the playoff. The Iron Bowl was just fantastic. And I know Auburn fans are tired of those close losses, but the effort was there. Mm-hmm. Early on, I was wondering, why not give Deuce Knight a go? Your offense isn't getting anything moving. But Ashton Daniels kept on trucking along.
Yeah, he made some plays.
Made it happen. And you ended up with one that really came down to the wire.
To think they were down 17-0 and came all the way back to tie that game. Well, I mean, come on. Midway through the second period, did you think there was any chance of that?
No. And that Alabama defense, I mean, the Auburn defense, especially the D-line, was playing so hard. And when they got their safety back in the second half, he came in guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
But the Alabama defense and the way they were hitting and so many dropped passes and loose balls because of how hard they were hitting,
yeah,
they came to play, and that was just fun to watch all the way around.
I agree. The Alabama defense is a little, not a big talking point. I think it should be. And I think with Georgia hampered with their O-line a little bit,
mm-hmm,
and Gunner having a really bad day against Tech, that could be a big part of the story on Saturday.
I don't see how Ty Simpson isn't beat up still this week. Mm. He took so many shots,
yep,
and props to him, just kept it moving. The Ryan Williams question's a big one, too. No targets?
I don't know.
When he gets the ball, he's dropping it a lot this year. I hate to see it because I love him being a Saraland guy and how well he played in his first year last year. I guess it's that sophomore slump that we hear so often about.
Yeah, you wonder what it's all about, though, right? You wonder what it's all about. He's talked about mental health and emotional health, too. He's gone there and talked, mm-hmm, about that early in the season. And these players are under a lot of pressure, but they're also being compensated pretty well, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only feel so sorry for college athletes at this point.
Yeah. We'll talk more with Drew Fabianich about the weekend that was and Paul Feinbaum, too. And then when we wrap the show up, our picks, so you can go directly against mine and follow Dan.
No.
That's the way things have been going. More of
lately,
the
yeah.
Dan and Dalton College Football Show on the way.
Drew Fabianich is executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. I know you. Well, hey, let's talk about some of the invites going out already, right, Drew?
Yeah, the invites, actually, most of them showed up at the schools on Friday. There are a couple of them that just got delivered this morning, but I think 100% of them are there. Hmm. Some of them have already been accepted.
Wow.
That's great.
That's quick.
And, I've been keeping up with it just as I do every year with the accepted invites. Your social media, you guys do such a great job with that, whether it's your personal page, Drew, or the official at Senior Bowl on X. So I see them rolling in and already some really good players. It is so fun seeing these guys who go on to star. I mean, we were watching so many of them yesterday and Thanksgiving Thursday, these guys that come down here and play in the Senior Bowl and then make an immediate impact at the next level.
Yeah, they do. And the point I made to one of the tight end you saw, Michael Trigg, you know, from Baylor, I said, people are talking about you as possibly, the number one tight end. I said, you better come down here and show everybody you're the number one tight end in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, you need to compete against the best of the best down here.
You sure?
That kid had quite a game against Auburn in the opener. I didn't see it, but I listened to it on the way back from a high school game that I was doing that night on FM Talk 106.5, the Auburn broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
That kid had a game.
Yeah, do yourself a favor. Like, Google up the videos of, like, the circus catches that he put on this year, because there was some incredible ones. And he's big, he's fast, and he's actually a pretty decent blocker, too.
Wow. And, man, these rivalry games this past weekend, so good. And I think the Iron Bowl almost topped them all. I mean, that was intense all the way through. It looked like Alabama might kind of not run away with it, but they jog away with it.
Yeah, they stretched it out early.
And Auburn defensively just battled and battled and battled in the offense. I mean, what'd you make of that Iron Bowl? It was so great.
No, it was. And I'll tell you what, they put a lot of pressure on Ty Simpson, which, you know, I kind of knew they would. DJ Jerking wasn't afraid of zero coverage. He got after him. He made him force balls when he, you know, didn't want to. But, you know, again, it's hard to protect when you're sending that many. You just got to know where your hops are, and you have to understand where your checkdowns are. But the one kid I feel sorry for is the Coleman kid.
Yeah.
And he'll remember that the rest of his life, which is too bad because, you know, he's a really, really good player, and, you know, he needs to let that go, but I don't think anybody's ever going to let that go up there, just being up there for that short period of time.
Yeah, and he was battling through, you know, whatever the knee was. He seemed to be having some pain there, and then to fight the way he did on that before losing the ball, that was tough. And you won't always see a stat line like the one Isaiah Horton put up. I mean, he didn't put up massive receiving numbers, but three touchdowns in one night.
In the end zone, yeah.
And every one of them clutch. What a performance.
Yeah, it was. And I'll tell you what, like you said, it was more when they needed it, because that fourth down and goal, I mean, that was a hell of a throw. But, I mean, and put it this way, very gutsy call, too, as a head as an offensive coordinator. Really was.
What do you make of, I mean, I did the sports report this morning, and we had so many coaching changes in the SEC. I don't want to really dive in on any of them in particular. Of course, Kiffin has taken all the air out of the room. But this timeline of when to fire coaches, when to hire coaches, signing portal, it almost seems like it needs to be fixed and fixed now.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to fix it. Just because of the early signing date, which I think is part of the issue. If it went back to one signing date in February, maybe that would alleviate a lot of it, because then at least a coach could get hired, you know, in January after his season's over with and salvage a recruiting class. But right now they have to be there to salvage a recruiting class, because most of the signees happen in December now instead of February. And I don't know why that was, you know, even brought to – I don't even know why it was brought to the NCAA, to be honest with you. What was wrong with the February? I mean, just because they want to get kids early enrolled? Is that the only reason?
Might be.
I mean, because I don't get it. And it doesn't just – it screws you for two reasons, because you can't get a full recruiting class, whether it's – you can't get it in high school, the high school kids. You're going to lose a lot of those kids.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the portal being the way it is, you know, you're just grasping at straws right now trying to replace and hopefully, you know, guys don't, you know, walk up to leave. Because Ole Miss, who knows how many guys are going to walk out of there after they're done.
Yeah, walk south.
That's right. That's right. You know, and they may not. You never know.
Well, Drew, go ahead.
I think the NCAA has to do something. The NCAA has to do something. I mean, get off their hands and do something about a lot of things.
Yeah,
there's a lot they need to fix. And but as we watch the invites roll in, plenty more on the way. Senior Bowl just 2 months away, basically, from now. And you guys have a lot going on between now and then. For folks who want to go ahead and buy tickets, I guess SeniorBowl.com is the best place to go.
Absolutely, and it's the website has been retooled and rejuvenated, and it seems to be a lot easier to navigate. And you better get your seats fast. It will sell out like it always has over the last 2 years. It'll continue to do so. So don't wait around and get off your hands, like I told the NCAA.
Yeah, you're being instructed to all of us. Hey, Drew, thanks for your views on over the weekend, and we'll catch up again real soon.
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
All right, Drew Fabianich, he's the executive director, and I think doing a fantastic job with the Panini Senior Bowl. And I'm waiting to see who their players of the week will be. I'm hoping that Diego Pavia will not be again, but he absolutely destroyed my Tennessee Vols on Saturday.
I mean, isn't he playing his way into that game?
Yeah, I think he's played his way to New York.
Yeah,
for sure.
Me too.
I told my dad, I said, watch, the Pavia brothers are going to get in a fight in Neyland during this game. I was only wrong because they got arrested before they were able to get into a fight. One of them got arrested.
The Pavia Mafia made it over from West Texas or New Mexico. Yeah, they drove in.
It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Well, often, Paul, you give us the scoop, and sometimes you are the scoop, but thanks again for joining us on this final Friday, Football Fridays on FM Talk 106.5. We appreciate it a lot, man, all season long.
It's been a great season. Not really much going on all year, so I'm glad we could gather every single Friday morning to educate the great state of the great citizens of the great. Oh, I don't have to say that anymore. Anyway, no. Alabama.
It has given us a fantastic storyline to run alongside the football season, as we've talked to you every week. So, at the very least, thanks for that. But
what was it? What was it? The crux of the decision not to run for the Senate, to stay in SEC talk rather than do that. It was it basically. Can I boil it down to John in St. Louis? Was he the one caller that kept you pining for the show?
Yeah, I frankly thought that as screwed up as Congress is, my help was needed far more in trying to straighten college football out. So, I mean, and to be honest, which of course all politicians are, Lane Kiffin was the tipping point. I saw how disingenuous he was, and I couldn't be the same person, so I had to stay where I am.
Well, that I want to say that storyline came to an end, but with Kiffin, it never really has. He, of course, ends up at LSU. He won't be coaching Ole Miss in the playoff, which it looks like they're going to be in after those last CFP rankings.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're in.
And you've already said probably a million plus words on it just in the last couple of days, Paul. But what's your final thoughts here as he's chosen LSU?
Well, I think it's a remarkable moment in time in college football where a coach would abandon his team after its greatest accomplishment in 60 years. But you say, how could that happen? Well, we're talking about Lane Kiffin here, who there are no rules, there are no boundaries. He keeps making it up as he goes along. And one thing that's always sure about Lane Kiffin, whatever house he built, he manages to burn down on the way out of town.
He does, and it's almost like LSU fans, just hang on for a couple of years, your time to hate the hell out of Lane Kiffin is coming. It's not now, but it's on the way.
Yeah, I mean, the fiercest arguments at the end of a bar in the future will be between Ole Miss fans and Tennessee fans, and which fan base hates Lane Kiffin the most.
Yeah. That's a lot of hate the other day I saw at the airport.
At the airport, they were throwing up the middle fingers, but that's nothing new for Kiffin on an airplane tarmac, airport tarmac. But, you know, as I was watching Ole Miss fans discuss this and whether he'd leave or not, so many of them were saying, well, now's the time anyway, because with the way we have this program running now, we can get any coach we want. They end up with Pete Golding. Right? Mm. Is he going to be a winner? Is he the slam dunk hire that Ole Miss fans would have liked after Kiffin leaves?
I'm not even sure there's some average 4A high schools in Alabama that would have hired Pete Golden as a head coach. So therein lies your answer. That was perhaps the biggest surprise of the week, that Ole Miss decided, why waste the money on going out and hiring a coach? He's probably going to get fired anyway. So let's just elevate Pete Golden. A year from now, we can fire him and start all over again.
Kind of feels that way, a little bit like what happened down the road in Starkville, too. And as far as Mississippi, I wanted to bring this up real quick. We could talk about Ole Miss, how you think they'll do without Kiffin on campus. But what do you think about Auburn's hire? I'm not opposed to it. Dalton, you know a little bit more about Coach Golish than I do.
Well, yeah, as a Tennessee fan, watching Golish do his work with that Malik Hooker offense back in Tennessee, or Hendon Hooker, I'm sorry, I always say Malik. Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyatt and Cedric Tillman, I mean, after that, Tennessee's offense hasn't looked the same, but I don't know whether to attribute that
personnel
to the quarterbacks or what it may be. I do know Golish has quite the offensive scheme. I guess it's the rest of the part of being an SEC coach we don't know about.
Yeah, I think he looks the part and he sounds the part, quite frankly.
Yeah, he does.
I like what I heard. I think it's a good hire. No, not the one. Nobody got the guy they really thought they were going to get, other than maybe LSU. But ultimately, they did pretty well there. I mean, Summerall was the favored nation guy, but you know, he didn't like what was going on. But I mean, winning the press conference doesn't really matter a lot. But this guy nailed the press conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really did. Let's talk a little bit about those games from last week, rivalry week, and really some great ones. And why not start with the Iron Bowl, even though it was kind of the last of the weekend. had me enthralled from the very beginning to the very end. Auburn put up such a heck of a fight. I hated seeing Cam Coleman go down the way he did and losing the ball there at the end. But if I were an Auburn fan, I know it's tough to handle with the loss, but I really thought they put up a heck of an effort.
Yeah, it unfortunately, the game just got overshadowed by everything that happened afterwards. But it was just so typical of every Auburn game this year that they just came up short. But I mean, Auburn came out of it okay. Alabama ended up getting credit for it for some reason. I have no idea, how the committee really liked what they saw. So don't tell the committee that Auburn lost to Kentucky in the same stadium 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, for Auburn fans, you cannot, I don't know. I mean, you can't ask that fan base to feel good about their team after another excruciating loss. You know, I mean, you can only take so much in one season.
Yeah, and it was not as bad as the last two Iron Bowls in Jordan-Hare Stadium. So what it basically did is cost DJ Durkin any chance of getting the head coaching position, which he may or may not have gotten anyway. He got the second best job. He's a coordinator. Alabama, Kalen DeBoer got a big win. Had he lost that game, he might have been at Penn State today. So I think it all worked out pretty well.
Instead, Penn State can't find anyone, which is another story. But with the CFP rankings that came out, they moved Texas up quite a bit after that necessary but good win over Texas A&M. And I know Texas beat Vanderbilt earlier in the year, but you look at Vanderbilt these last 3 weeks, especially with the second half that Pavia had against Tennessee, where he just was dominant, just as he's been for the last month. I know he's putting letters out to Trump asking for an executive order to get the Commodores in the playoff, but Texas moves ahead of them. They have the head-to-head win, but they have three losses compared to Vanderbilt's two losses.
Yeah.
What'd you make of that kind of ranking? It doesn't look like Vanderbilt's going to be able to get in.
Yeah, they're not. And by the way, I've already gone to the president in case Alabama loses Saturday.
You did, so yes.
I beat Pavia to the punch. And Alabama is a little more red than even Tennessee, so I'm going to win that one. It's too bad, but Vanderbilt played two reasonably decent names in non-conference games. But they got no credit for either one because both teams were terrible. So ultimately, they lost the two games they needed to win. They needed to beat either Alabama or Texas, and they couldn't do it. So, beating Tennessee's nice, but Tennessee's, a four-loss team now?
Yeah.
That really doesn't do you much good.
Do you think he did enough, certainly, to get to New York, but could Pavia be the Heisman winner after these last three or four games?
I would be surprised. I mean, he'd probably get my vote, but I think the fact that Sam and Mendoza are playing in theory the biggest game of the year, it doesn't feel like it to me, but it is a 1-2 matchup. I just don't think unless they both are just pedestrian and terrible, which is hard to imagine. I don't think Pavia can get enough votes to win.
So you say your Heisman vote will go to Pavia?
At the moment. Now, being a politician like I have for the last 3 months, it can be bought.
Pavia family, they might not have had the money to buy it off earlier, but by now they should, unless they spent it all on bail money. Right?
And Dalton called this one. The Pavia Mafia was coming into town to Vandy, and he told me last week, he said, one of them's going to get arrested before the game. I think it happened.
It did happen in the game. Yeah, one of the Pavia brothers put in handcuffs. So we'll look forward to that at whatever bowl game they end up in later this year. All right, so conference championship week this week, Alabama and Georgia. First time they've played, right? No, they play every year in Atlanta. What do you expect this weekend?
I don't know why. I said Sunday I thought Alabama would win. Of course, that's when I was still a candidate for the Senate, so I was just saying that to my – but all kidding aside, I think you have to go with Alabama every time they play Georgia. And everybody knows the record, but how many? It just doesn't make sense to go with Kirby Smart against Alabama. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. I mean, take it from a Georgia guy here. Georgia, is there an Alabama thing there? Seems like there is to me. And Smart is a great coach. They're a very good team. They've improved a lot this season, but I could not blame anybody. And I think at this point, Georgia's 2.5 or 3.5 point favorite, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty insignificant line. Yeah. I think that this game will be determined by injuries. So there's already been a number to both schools. I mean, Georgia lost at center, which is a big deal.
Yep.
The thing I hate about the SEC game is that even by winning, you often lose. Last year, Georgia lost Carson Beck. Two years ago, Alabama lost its two receivers. Mm-hmm. Or a couple of years maybe beyond that, but there always seems to be a casualty because it's such a brutal game. You have the two best teams, and you're playing now the 13th game, and that's really what I don't like about this game, as much of a spectacle as it is.
And neither offense lighting the field on fire right now. The Georgia-Georgia Tech game was kind of overlooked, yeah. But Dan, you watched. Georgia offense wasn't able to do anything.
Yeah, they talk about Gunnar Stockman as this great outdoorsman, Paul, and I told Dalton that, yeah, he played like he'd just fallen out of a tree stand and hit every limb on the way down. He had and I love the kid. He had a terrible game against Georgia Tech. It was almost like he was playing with amnesia. He forgot everything.
Yeah, hard to explain. I think it was interesting once the center went out, he did seem lost.
Yeah.
That center's still going to be out Saturday, yep. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Paul. There you go. Great insight every single week here, and we appreciate you coming on for Football Fridays with Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank, and we'll do this again next year. How's that sound?
I can't wait. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
There you go. Paul Feinbaum, he's going to stick in there with the SEC Network. Is the SEC Network and ESPN going to stay side by side with Paul? That's what he was kind of.
Yeah, good question.
Inferring there as we.
How are the feelings?
Yeah, anybody got any hurt feelings in Bristol, Connecticut? I don't know. And it wasn't so much his possible run, but we made that announcement.
Yeah, we'll do some more talk coming up. Mobile Mornings, get on the line, 251-343-0106 as we open up the text lines on this Friday. And what do you think about those conference championship games? Don't forget, get your picks in for the Pick'em Pool. We're coming to the end this week. More Mobile Mornings on the way next. Welcome back as we wrap things up. Final segment here of the Dan and Dalton College Football Show. And I want to thank again Drew Fabianich, the executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl, for coming on with us this week. And Paul Feinbaum, not running for Senate, but still running for your love on the Feinbaum Show. It's tough to come by, though, with those fans.
Yeah.
So championship week here, which doesn't hold the same significance it used to, but that's just for the, I think, Big Ten and SEC. You look at these group of five games, and those are even more significant than they are, at least for the Sun Belt and for the American, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you some of the games that do mean something going into the college football playoffs that are these championship games. They all mean something, but you're right. I don't think any of them means you lose and you're out. Betting that Alabama, if they were to lose, that they would still be in. But who in their right mind would pick against Alabama? They're playing Georgia. The one that I think is going to be kind of a linchpin is Texas Tech and BYU.
Mm-hmm.
If BYU is blown out again by Texas Tech as they were during the regular season, I think not only I think that's the end of BYU for sure. But at the same time, I think it squeezes in Miami, University of Miami, the Hurricanes, and Notre Dame to both get in. Oh, and the other one, of course, is Duke. If Duke wins the ACC, then I think neither team from that championship game gets in the college football playoff, but rather Miami does.
So the Stone Cold Locks, Ohio State and Indiana, obviously, Georgia's going to be in. Do you keep Texas Tech stays in, even if they lose to BYU, I would imagine?
I think so. They're so far up there. Boy, they're fifth.
They're fourth right now in the season they've had, and they blew out BYU so badly early in the year.
I think they're in one way or the other.
Oregon is in, and they don't have to play. Is that exactly what happened last year, too? Oregon didn't have to play. No, they may have played Ohio State for the Big Ten Championship
they did.
Turned around, and that's right, because I think they got the win, and then Ohio State ended up playing Tennessee in that 5-versus-12 matchup.
Okay.
I don't know.
Did they play Penn State in the championship game?
You know what? That's exactly what it was.
They played Penn State. Yeah. Ohio State stayed home because they lost that last game to Michigan?
Yeah, that's what it was. And it was kind of looking a little iffy for Ohio State and Michigan this last week, but Ohio State turned it on. So the locks here, you got to say those teams, Ole Miss will be in, and there was a question about that with mm-hmm. Kiffin leaving, but you have Golding and Weiss Jr. who are going to stick around for that game. Weiss is just going to stick around for that game. Golding, the new head coach. A&M's in, even after that loss to Texas.
Yeah.
Oklahoma apparently in
yeah.
with those big road wins against Alabama and Tennessee.
They finished the season with only two losses.
Yes, and one of those came to Texas, right, who
yep.
Is on the outside looking in right now. Will Bama still be in if they lose to Georgia this weekend?
I think that the conventional thinking is, yeah, they're still in.
Because that would be
three losses.
Yeah, three losses. Notre Dame at 10th, and then BYU, Miami, Texas. But the group of five games that really matter, you have Tulane and North Texas, and I think the winner of that for the American will be the group of five team that definitely gets the nod. The only question beyond that is James Madison, who's sitting 25th right now in the college football playoff rankings. But interestingly enough, the AP has James Madison ahead of both North Texas and Tulane. Not that that matters more than the CFP, obviously, but they're 22.5-point favorites over Troy for the Sun Belt Championship.
Yeah. I mean, you know, knock me over the head to tell me that James Madison was even a member of the Sun Belt Conference. I guess that happened a couple of years ago. But
they have such a strong defense, and they haven't played Troy this year, but James Madison favored by 22.5. So I guess why don't we start there, even though in our pick-em.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so who are you taking in that one?
I'll take James Madison to cover, even though it's 22.5 against Troy. They're good, so you know, I'll go with them.
It's kind of crazy how many teams in our region, but specifically Alabama, are playing for conference championships this week. I'm going to stick with, I think, all the Bama teams throughout this. So I'm going to take Troy to cover that 22.5. And I think if they cover, that might as well put a nail in the James Madison playoff hopes, even if it's not a win for Troy. Jacksonville State and Kennesaw State, they're playing for the Conference USA title game this weekend. That will be in Jacksonville, Alabama. And these two teams met
earlier in the year,
3 weeks ago. That game was also in Jacksonville, and the Gamecocks won that one 35-26. But you look at the line now, and Kennesaw State is favored by 2.5 points. So I'm going to stick with the team from Alabama, Jacksonville State, and Rich Rod.
I was going to say Rich Rod is now the head coach there, right? Is he? No. He's back
is
up
he
in West Virginia
oh, you're
now.
Right, you're right.
He's back up in West Virginia. So I don't know who's coaching the Jacksonville State team, but I'm going with Kennesaw State. If they're favored, I'm going with it. I don't know enough about these teams, so if you're favored, I'm going to go with you.
All right, well, that means you took Boise State.
I did.
In that matchup, UNLV going out to Boise, Idaho, and the Broncos favored by 3.5. UNLV, they've added some players this year. You know what? I'm making my switch right now. I'm taking UNLV, the 3.5-point underdog, as they go to the Blue Field.
Yeah,
can they stop with that now, by the way?
No kidding. I mean, the novelty, that was cute 20 years ago. Please, make it green, and because it's affecting my eyesight.
It is.
UNLV coached by Dan Mullen.
That's right.
Indeed.
That's right. So I'm going to go with the Mullen squad there. North Texas and Tulane, that's the game that I think winner will move into the 12 slot in the college football playoff. Tulane's had such a great year. Summerall will stick around and coach them through this game and whatever games follow. I'm sticking with Tulane in this one to beat North Texas and that game in New Orleans.
North Texas State's on the move. The coach is on the move, too.
Eric Morris, right? Is that his name?
I think so.
He was Incarnate Word. He was with Texas Tech on their offensive staff when Mahomes came through, and even Baker Mayfield before that.
Oh, okay.
Or around that time. So Morris, and he's sticking around. So you have two coaches who are moving on to bigger and better things after this.
I don't know. Is he going to Oklahoma State or somewhere like that?
Yes, okay. Oklahoma State. I'm going with Tulane. Who you took the favorite in that one?
Yep, I did.
North Texas. And then one more game we don't know a whole lot about, and that's Western Michigan at home taking on Miami of Ohio, and I went ahead and took Western Michigan in that game.
Well, the winner of this game, I think, will end up down here.
That's right.
In the bowl game, that we usually take the MAC champion or one of the top MAC teams. Anyway, one of those two will be down here in Mobile soon.
And Western Michigan, known for fisticuffs after their games.
Was that Western or was that East? That was Eastern Michigan.
Okay. I'm just seeing how much I can get wrong in this segment today. Now, the teams that we have been following much more closely, Texas Tech just crushed BYU not that long ago.
No.
That was in October, late October, I believe. And Texas Tech favored by 13.5. And you get into these Power Four conferences, they have, of course, their conference championship games at bigger places. This game will be at the Jerry's House in Arlington. I'm taking Texas Tech to cover the two touchdowns.
Impressive, the venue, and I'll go with Texas Tech as well. They're playing really well.
The SEC championship, all eyes will be on Atlanta and Georgia. I mean, did they just stay in Atlanta over this last week after that game against Georgia Tech?
It's only like 70 miles.
I guess so.
you can make the commute. I do believe that Alabama has got something over Georgia, some sort of a hex. But I've got to pick my dogs on the air and say they're going to win. But in my heart of hearts, I have some doubts.
Yeah, some reservations. I'm going to take Bama also. That was such a physical Iron Bowl. I do have trouble believing that Bama will be firing on all cylinders, but at this point in the year, who is firing on all cylinders?
Georgia Tech, for whatever improbable reason, played very good defense against Georgia in that game at the same venue a week ago, so Georgia's a little beat up too.
The ACC championship game, much has been made of this one because of who's involved. You don't get the Miami Hurricanes. Virginia is in with only two losses. But Duke, the five-loss ACC team, and only 3.5-point underdogs as this game will be played in Charlotte. Who do you have in that one?
I met Duke's coach earlier this year on the sideline. Martinez, is that his name? I don't know.
Now it escapes me, too.
Manny Diaz.
Manny Diaz, thank you, because he's looking at some players down here.
Yeah, and the players looked the other way. So he had that long-time commitment.
Deshaun Spencer,
and he's ended up going to Auburn. So I want it to be a pleasant day for Manny, and I'm going to pick Duke.
You do like Manny after meeting him earlier this year, and now that you remembered his name.
Right.
I'm going to take the Hoos, and Virginia wins that one, and then that whole storyline about the ACC potentially not having a team in. I guess they'd move Virginia in. I mean, they'd have to if they won that game.
If they win the game, I think you're right.
And
that'd be the end of Miami, I think.
And then you have a number one versus a number two. Second time this year that Ohio State has been in a game like that as they opened the year against Texas and, of course, won that game. This time it's for the Big Ten Championship at Lucas Oil in Indianapolis. And the Buckeyes, 4.5-point favorites over the Hoosiers.
Yeah, they are really good. Ohio State, obviously, they haven't played the toughest schedule. I get it. Maybe later on in the playoff we'll really find out what they're made of. But this is a big challenge right here. Indiana's a good team. Cignetti, formerly of James Madison, has really turned Indiana into a real program. I'm going to go with Indiana to at least get inside that line. That line's 4.5.
And they have not played yet this year. No. I'm on Indiana, too.
They're both undefeated, yeah.
And Ohio State, I mean, they did beat Michigan, and in the second half they took off. But there was a little cause for concern early in the game because it was pretty tight and a great snow game. Finally glad to see the snow really coming down in that one. I'm going to take Indiana to keep it within that number. And hopefully win and just kind of change things up a little bit there at the very top of the college football playoff rankings. But it's been a fun year. I think we'll come back on and do the show maybe next week and wrap it up as we get ready for the college football playoff. But
yeah, the Benadryl's kicking in. I don't know anything that you just said.
All right. Well, that's it. The Anna Dalton's College Football Show. Thanks for listening to us. And have a great time watching the games this weekend. Nothing like last weekend, but could see some crazy things go on in these conference championships.
I was so excited last weekend going into that those 2 days of fury, but not the same bite necessarily, but still should be a great weekend and a lot of fun.
All right. We'll be live again Monday morning, 6 to 9 on Mobile Mornings. Listen to us then, too.